The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We are glad to have you in 2015. Today, we're going to be talking about a popular topic that we always talk about on Fed Access, and we're going to continue to talk about clearance jobs. What's going on with the clear job market? There's been a lot of things that's been happening in the world, a number of different cyber attacks, terrorist attacks in Paris, a number of different things that we're fighting the battle against ISIS or ISIL, however you want to call them. A number of different entities are out there, Al-Qaeda, AQAP, Boko Haram, other things like that. The threats seem to kind of continue to grow around the world. How is that impacting the job market in terms of clearance jobs? We're going to be talking about all these things today in terms of recruitment for clear professionals, hiring trends we're going to be seeing, and everything else. We're talking to one of our favorites, Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. You can find them at the site clearancejobs.com. If you've got a clearance, you need to be on that site. Evan, welcome.
Hello, Derek. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as usual. Hey, start us off. What are we looking like? 2015, what are we looking like for the clearance market?
You know, it's going to be pretty interesting for 2015. We are seeing a little bit of a perfect storm kind of come together, which is something that we have not seen in a couple of years. And by that, I mean really four particular factors. The first factor is that post-Snowden era, the government has really tried to crack down on agencies and contracting companies holding on to cleared personnel, even though they weren't doing cleared work, simply just to have them available on the bench ready for any other contracts that come in. That's been a pretty standard practice to date, but I think the government has actually done a pretty strong job of trying to manage that. So, you know, roughly a year or so ago, the total cleared population that the government reported was 5.2 million. And more recent numbers have come out showing that it's down to 4.8 million. So when you're talking about recruitment and clear jobs in 2015, just one of the four factors is the fact that the overall cleared population is smaller. I think the other thing to kind of mention is that, you know, lawmakers had called for, towards the beginning of last year, to take a closer look at the people that held security clearances and were they holding them at the correct levels. So companies and federal agencies not only have held on to people that were cleared, even though they weren't doing cleared work, just to have them kind of on that bench and ready to go, but they were holding them at the highest clearance levels possible. So one of the things that came out of the whole Edward Snowden affair is that there were a fair number of people that were holding security clearances at high levels, but the work they were doing was at a much lower level. So the government has cracked down a bit on that situation. So for 2015, you're going to find a lot fewer people holding TS clearance than they did in the past, and that's going to really make it a little bit more difficult for companies as well as federal agencies to hire.
Quick question. Is the level of the work changing, Evan, in terms of, I mean, are we seeing a less of a need for people at that level, or is just a number of people had kind of maybe support people who weren't doing the actual job, who were either analysts or IT people? Are they just kind of changing the work level and saying, hey, you don't need this access anymore? I mean, it seems as if the crisis scenario in terms of what's needed is growing, but the number of people who have clearances is becoming less. I mean, break that down for us.
So ironically, and that's a good question, Derek, I think ironically the work that is coming in as a result of what's been going on in the news over the last 6 or 8 months, the work coming in is at a higher clearance level. We're seeing more and more jobs come in that are requiring TS and above. I think what the government was doing when they kind of took a closer look at the cleared population after Edward Snowden is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. They realized that there are a lot of people that were cleared at the TS and SCI level, but the work they were doing was secret or confidential, and they saw that as a security risk. So there was a fair amount of action to get people's clearance levels lowered. That's still going on, but at the same time, most of the new jobs coming in really revolve around intelligence, cybersecurity, counterterror, and those things are definitely at the TS level and higher. So we're really going to be coming into a situation in 2015 where the number of cleared people at the higher level is not going to match up very well with the number of open jobs.
Does that mean that there needs to be a new level of recruiting that's going on? I mean, are we looking at a situation where we need to now bring in new kind of candidates? Or, I mean, what are we looking at?
Well, you know, I think the first response would be, okay, well, we'll put more people through the process. We'll take people off the street, we'll get them security clearances, and we will add to the pool, and we'll bring them in and get them clearances at high levels. But if you take a look at the last 6 or 8 months, OPM has had a really difficult time in keeping up with the number of people who are trying to get cleared, as well as the periodic reinvestigations. So, you know, there was a fairly recent hack into OPM systems, USIS getting dropped from their contract for doing most of the investigations for OPM, moving all those investigations to other companies, and then the primary company that picked up those investigations, Keypoint, had their own data breach recently, and it's really slowed down the clearance process and the PR process overall. We're hearing from both candidates as well as employers that pulling someone off the street and trying to get them a clearance is just not an option. And that really reminds us a whole lot of 2002, 2003, when there was a similar situation that there was this huge backlog of people awaiting clearance, and trying to pull someone off the street and get them a clearance was really not a viable opportunity.
Hmm. And for these days right now, in terms of a person maybe just kind of coming into a clearance market, if they were getting a clearance, because of everything that's happened, USIS and the dynamics with OPM and everything else, are we talking about even a longer time period for people to get cleared these days? I mean, is it taking, you know, how at one point in time we had shortened the time period in terms of a person getting a clearance, a top secret SCI, everybody talked about, you know, cutting that time. Are we now talking about, because of Snowden and because of everything else, have those time periods increased?
Most definitely. And there's two factors. The first factor for increased end-to-end final clearance processing times is due to the investigative woes, you know, the problems with OPM and Keypoint and USIS. That has definitely slowed things down. But at the same time, the other factor was a result of what came post-Edward Snowden, in that lawmakers were taking a look at OPM and saying, are we investigating deeply enough? Have we sacrificed quality of investigation for quantity? And a lot of people did think that with regards to Edward Snowden, Aaron Alexis, and a few others, that the quality of investigations had been jeopardized, and that's definitely taking part in what we've seen as far as a slowdown as well. So while the government had made strides over the last couple of years to reduce that end-to-end clearance processing time, we're seeing it creep back up for a good reason, but that still means a fairly negative effect on recruiting and staffing for these cleared positions.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is a founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about this clearance job market as we go into 2015, as we are in 2015. We're talking about what's happening, what trends are going on. It seems as if there's a number of different things that are happening that are impacting clearances, but there's also an increase of jobs that require higher level clearances and maybe certain kind of skills. And so how do we figure this thing out? How do we make sure we have enough people doing the job to fight cyber attacks, to fight terrorism attacks? But then how do we make sure that we get people cleared and make sure we don't have another Snowden incident and everything else? We're talking about all these things right now on Fed Access. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the clearance job market. We're talking about a number of things that's going on. If you have a security clearance, whether it be a secret, top secret SEI, top secret with a poly, or whatever the case is, how is this market right now looking for you? It seems as if it's a market that is going to be growing, and it may be looking real good, especially for those who have higher level clearances. The number of different positions are opening up in contractors and federal positions, especially with the number of crises that we're dealing with out there, whether it be terrorism or cyber or otherwise. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. It is a site for the clear professional. If you have a security clearance, you should be on there looking for jobs, talking to recruiters, looking for information, getting advice. It's a good site out there for those who are clear professional, whether you're a contractor, government, or military. Evan has always been on top of these issues, and he's kind of breaking some things down for 2015 for us today. Evan, we were talking about the clearances, you know, so we've got this dynamic now. We've got less clear professionals. We need a certain skill set out there. Seems as if we're going to need more intel analysts. We're going to need more cyber professionals. What else are you seeing in terms of the trends? Are there any other jobs that are starting to open up in terms of the cleared?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a lot of new positions. If you take a little bit of a look back, 2013, you'll recall you and I were talking a lot about the government shutdown, about the sequester, budget cuts, the debt ceiling crisis. There were just so many things in play in 2013 that really made this a depressed marketplace. So were a lot of candidates, not as many jobs as in the past, and it was really kind of an employer's market. 2014, almost like a light switch went off. The number of jobs picked up, no budget cut threats, cybersecurity became the number one issue, and even as we were pulling out of Afghanistan, it's really 2014 is when ISIL started coming about, and we started needing more and more of a presence in the Middle East than we had in the past. So lots of jobs, lots of opportunity in 2014. As we head into 2015, the increase in jobs has really meant an increase in a lot of those business roles that really fell off the radar in 2013 but have come back very strong over the past 2, 3, 4 months. And we can definitely talk about those business roles.
Well, so if we're looking at that, are we talking kind of more like those business development type people? Are we talking about maybe kind of more your finance type people? We're talking about administration and management. I mean, what kind of business role? And are these people still, again, at the highest level of the clearance dynamic? Or can somebody with a secret clearance who has that background, can they sneak into here?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So as the overall market for defense, intelligence, and homeland security activity picks up, you naturally see an increase in the number of positions that are for contract and subcontract administrators, proposal writers, federal sales capture managers, as you mentioned, budget and finance analysts, finance managers, program project managers, a lot of those support type of positions. Clearance levels are across the board. A lot of the business development and federal sales and capture management positions can be done at the secret level. When you get into budget and finance, a lot of those have to be at much higher level clearances. Same with proposal and contract writers. So those are really positions that if someone was looking for a job in those type of business support roles in 2013, early 2014, they weren't going to have a whole lot of luck. But in the past 4 or so months, we've seen a dramatic turnaround, and I think those are going to be some of the most prevalent jobs that we see in 2015.
Are we looking, you know, how we at one point in time, we were talking about kind of small, medium-sized businesses, and you know, that, I mean, there was a period of time where they took a hit. A lot of companies took a hit, whether it be your big companies that had to kind of split up to get contracts, and then you have some of your small and medium-sized businesses who could not stand the storm of sequestration and other things like that. Are we looking at a comeback for those, for everybody? I mean, your big companies, your small ones, subcontracts, and everything else?
Definitely. You know, the more contracts that are out there, the more companies are going to be out there, created, spun off from other companies to bid on those contracts. So in 2013 and the first few months of 2014, we saw a pretty good number of smaller companies either go out of business or get acquired for extremely low cost. Or have to branch out into non-cleared work to keep things going. But over the last 6 months, and I know through 2015, I think you're going to see a lot of brand new companies starting up or spun off. I think the number of acquisitions of small and medium-sized companies is going to pick up as well. And that is really all simply due to the fact that there are so many new contracts out there.
You know, with all of that, and as we began looking and kind of going back to Evan to some of the more key areas, are those who have the, like, a cyber dynamics, you know, are we still looking at a shortage of clear professionals in cyber? I mean, are people who are coming out of either college or coming out of a certain community who have those cyber skills, are they still being sought after, or where are we at on that?
Well, I think if you take a look at the positions that are going to be most prevalent in 2015. I think aside from the business roles, when you get to the other areas for tech, you're definitely looking at cybersecurity as clearly the number one area. Non-tech, you're going to be looking at a load of intel jobs. We've already seen an increase over the last 5 months in the number of intel jobs on the site, and much more wide range. Military trainers going out to Iraq, cultural advisors, linguists, all source and signals intel analysts, open source intel analysts. So we're definitely seeing an increase in those far more than 2014 and drastically more than 2013. If you're talking cybersecurity, as we've discussed in the past, it's a moving target. It's changing almost monthly at this point. Hmm. Recently, there have been a couple developments we can talk about with regards to cybersecurity. DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, has made some changes in the last few weeks that could be interesting. Also talking about some of the initiatives that the administration has taken forth, trying to organize cybersecurity communications between agencies into a little bit more solid atmosphere, and trying to get more customary practices together that will kind of help the interagency communication. There's definitely a few things going on in cybersecurity that are brand new that may be worth exploring.
You know, we just saw the recent announcement. I know the president met with one of the agencies to kind of talk about the cyber dynamic in terms of, you know, helping people with their privacy, helping people with intellectual property. And as we've seen these attacks on CENTCOM and other organizations, it seems as if, like you said, it's a moving target. We've seen news organizations attacked. We've seen federal government organizations, military organizations attacked. What's happening in terms of the Obama administration, in terms of trying to centralize this effort?
Well, what's interesting is in the past, everyone has always known that private infrastructure, infrastructure that's owned by you know, private companies, that there was a bit of an issue between whether breaches into those systems or hacks against those systems, were they the responsibility of that private company or were they the responsibility of the government? And I think the government and the administration has been saying a lot more often recently that, you know, infrastructure may be owned and operated by the private sector, but there's a very big influence between government and industry when you're talking infrastructure, power grids, water supply, pipelines, banking system, healthcare system, those type of things. it's become a whole lot more clear that there has to be coordination between government and industry to keep those systems running. You know, when you branch out a little bit and you take a look at what went on with the Sony hack, you know, at first there were political motivations, it seemed, behind it, but it wasn't necessarily something that the government was going to get involved with. But as soon as the folks behind that hack started saying, well, we're going to target movie theaters and people who actually go to see this movie, it suddenly turned from something being a private company security issue to a government and national security issue. And that type of thing we've seen kind of come over and over over the past few years. That's something that appears to be maybe more of a issue with a private company has branched into being a national security issue that the government needs to get involved in. And I think that the administration now is recognizing that and starting to make more clear steps to have that coordination between industry and government to communicate and kind of talk about what the responses might be.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about what's going on with the cleared job market, everything from cyber to terrorism to looking at a number of other threats that are going on. It seems as if the world is definitely ramping up with a number of different crisis areas that we have to focus on with national homeland security and intelligence. We're talking about what's going on for the clear professional and what kind of jobs are going to be out there. It seems as if the market is growing and it may be some good time to get back into the market. If you were a clear professional who left it, or you are a person who's leaving from federal government or from the military, it seems to be maybe a good market to be in right now. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to keep on talking about the clearance job market. Listen to Fed Access. We're on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the clearance job market. A lot of interesting things are going on for 2015. It seems like the market is taking a complete change from what we've seen in 2013 and 2014. It's starting to take off again. But as if you've been following the news, you probably can understand why. There's a number of different threats that are growing out there, whether it be cyber terrorism, a lone wolf attack, or attacks from organizations, ISIS, Al-Qaeda affiliates, and other things like that, that we have to deal with these different threats. And we have to have a number of people who are working in a number of different agencies focusing in on these things to either stop the threat, defeat the threat, and everything else. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. He has had his pulse on this market for many years, and we're talking about what is going on with this market and what can a clear professional anticipate and expect as we go forward throughout this year. You know, Evan, we were talking about cybersecurity, and it seems as if a number of different changes the Obama administration is trying to centralize. It was interesting what you were saying is that with the Sony attack, other things like that, a lot of people thought of it as just pure business, but now people are definitely looking at it, especially as a national security type situation, where you may have a whole state actor attacking a private corporation and causing economic damage, right, to a private corporation, which really has an impact on our national security. Are we starting to see that the federal government is going to be talking to corporations just in a, I mean, you know, that we've always talked about, whether it be through InfraGuard or through a number of different organizations, how this kind of public private partnership, are we going to see that growing more?
Most definitely. And I think it's become very clear to government that a breach or hack against a private company can have public issues that come along with it. A few years ago, when there were some attacks against Google, it kind of opened people's eyes to understand that what would happen if an entity that's as large as Google, that powers so many parts of the economy, went down or had some type of large-scale breach or some kind of trouble. And that kind of opened people's eyes a few years ago. And as we've seen over the past a couple of years, I think what we're seeing at this point is a very clear understanding from government that our financial systems, our power grids, our pipelines, our healthcare systems are all under attack 24/7, 365, and that the best and brightest people to secure those systems may be in government, they may be in private industry, but there has to be some kind of coordination between government and private sector because they end up being national security risks.
You know, with all of this, what are you hearing with the, and this kind of goes into another sector, but are you also seeing the private sector starting to really kind of take a look at intelligence and kind of cybersecurity in a different, I don't know if you're hearing from those companies as well in terms of saying we need to hire those people, but are you starting to see an increase in that kind of stuff that they're looking at and trying to prevent this threat using intelligence and other kind of professionals?
It's interesting that you mentioned that because there are a couple of things that private companies are engaged in that kind of put them in that realm. One is big data, and companies are spending a whole lot more time taking a look at the aggregate of information that not only they have, but what's available on the open web, and putting that information together to make business decisions. And where that kind of leads to is a deeper level of business intelligence than companies have had in the past. It's letting them make more decisions with a lot of data behind it to back it up. So there are definitely some new positions out there in the uncleared world that are kind of pushing companies towards using data to make decisions on just about everything that they do. Also interesting is a fairly new memo that has come out that is essentially allowing private companies who meet certain security requirements that the Defense Department has put out to let the government use commercial cloud systems to host sensitive but unclassified data. And that is something that is, I think you're going to see a lot of activity in. In 2015, you're essentially telling a very large number of companies who have incredible infrastructure with regards to cloud computing and storage, all of a sudden being allowed into the government marketplace where they haven't been in the past. And
are these kind of like your Amazons and things like that? Is that what we're looking at?
That's right, yeah. In fact, Amazon, their web services division, became the first company that was authorized by the DoD to host this sensitive but unclassified data. And I can tell you that there are a ton of companies that are following suit and trying to get into the game. Interestingly, the DoD is now, you know, roughly 2 years or so into the whole push for cloud computing, and they're starting to take a closer look at cloud computing and is it saving the money that everyone said it would from the very beginning. A lot of audits going on at this point.
Are people starting to see that the cloud, that there was a overhype with cloud? I mean, where do you start, or is it too early to tell where this is going to kind of play itself out? Because that became the big push of government. All the CIOs were pushing, you know, cloud computing, but are people seeing it as unsafe? Is it starting to see that you're not getting the same money saving dynamics? What are you starting to see?
Yeah, and I think you know, being a few years into it now, it's not surprising that we're starting to see the audits come out. You know, thankfully, there have not been a huge number of discussions about budget problems or cutbacks. But at this point, I think that the DoD auditors are really trying to take a closer look at cloud computing and trying to make sure that, hey, you know, we're spending a lot of money on this. Is it really going to be saving us in the long run? And cloud computing is really all about the long run. They have to take a look at performance metrics and are these systems using less energy and are they handling the information better? What's the maintenance cost on these systems and is it you know, more effective in terms of the return for the investment the government's put in? No word out yet on what the scoop is, but I don't think anyone sees the push for cloud computing going away anytime soon, and with more commercial companies being allowed into the marketplace, that's definitely an area in 2015 that you're going to see a whole lot of activity and a whole lot of jobs.
you know, as we're looking at certain things, I know when we were talking, you mentioned that recruiting is going to kind of get to almost the 9/11 dynamics, the post 9/11, where we just saw this amazing uptick of the recruitment of people to work within DOD, Homeland Security, and other areas. I know there's a bill out there right now to fund Homeland Security and keep them going. What are we looking at for the candidate? I mean, we talk about strategies for the candidate. When we hear that there's going to be this uptick in hiring, what kind of strategy should they be looking at? What are the pros and cons of certain things in terms of this job market right now?
Well, you know, 2015, the people who do hold clearance have to realize that they are really sitting in the proverbial catbird seat. They are of a much more limited group of people than it was in the past. Even just a year ago, with the cleared population, you know, roughly 5.2 million, and it coming down to roughly 4.8. Anyone with a clearance is definitely sitting in a better position. With regards to the positions that are out there, as we talked about with cloud computing, cleared people need to understand that there are a lot of new companies that are coming into the government marketplace that have not been in the past. 3 or 4 years ago, if you said to a cleared person, what about working at Amazon, they would immediately turn around and say, that doesn't make any sense. I want to maintain my clearance. I'm going to go to work for one of the, Fortune 500 defense companies. But so many private companies are really getting into the defense and Homeland Security marketplace that haven't in the past. So it's important for job seekers to go beyond the big brand name companies and start taking a look at others that are getting involved. In terms of government agencies, too, we were talking about cybersecurity before. In the last couple of years, if you were going to work for a government agency and do cybersecurity, you'd probably be going to the NSA first and the Cyber Command. You may be looking at Department of Homeland Security, but more and more of the cybersecurity work is being pushed out to the Air Force, to the Army. Each military branch has its own cybersecurity division. Very recently, DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, has now been tasked with a number of cybersecurity focuses that they had not been in the past. They're taking some of that work from the Cyber Command. So, anyone looking for a job, in this case in cybersecurity, kind of has to go beyond what they know to be the primary source for those jobs, and understand that a lot more people, a lot more agencies and companies are getting into the game than in the past, and kind of open up their thinking a bit.
You know, with all of that, I want to keep on talking about this in terms of, because you mentioned a couple good points about people kind of opening their minds to not just the usual players, about new players that are out there. Sometimes people have concerns about, how do I determine, is this the right company for me, especially if it's a new player that doesn't have a whole bunch of past performance or doesn't have a lot of information on them. I want to talk about that, and also talk about social media. What's the impact right now of a lot of these situations? You know, we've heard about a number of agencies to tell people, come off of social media right now because terrorist entities are maybe looking for you and everything else. So we want to talk about that for the job seeker who has a clearance, or for the person who has a clearance who may be out there on social media. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. He's been on the pulse of this area for quite some time. And we're talking about, for those who are cleared and those who are trying into the cleared market in terms of working for defense, intelligence, national security, homeland security, what's the impact of 2015 and what's going on for the hiring, and also for people transitioning to other companies or other agencies right now. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the clearance job market. What's going on right now? What's happening for 2015? A lot of things are happening that people need to know about. We've been talking about this with Evan Lesser. He is one of our favorite guests and always a knowledgeable subject matter expert on the cleared market. He's a founder and director of clearancejobs.com. If you have a clearance, you should be on this site, because you can meet federal agencies, you can meet government contractors, you can meet a number of different different people, recruiters who are out there looking for those who are clear professionals. It seems like the market is starting to blow up a little bit. Everybody from secret clearance all the way to the highest levels of top secret poly and everything else, there are people out there looking for you. So you need to know about what's going on in this market. Evan, when we look at the, you know, kind of, again, personal strategies, you mentioned that there's going to be a number of new players coming out here. Are these companies who have been around, are these kind of startup companies? How do people make decisions? And, you know, some people are apprehensive about startup companies or somebody who's only been in the market for, you know, maybe a couple years or so. How would you advise somebody to really take a look at this stuff and then make a good decision about not just going to the mainstay people, but maybe looking at some of these new creative type organizations?
Yeah, you know, the range of companies has really increased, and when you take a look at some of the expertise in the private sector and the fact that the government needs that type of input and those products, it really brings to light a lot of companies that, you know, you may not have thought of in the past. We do a fair amount of work with LexisNexis, you know, big data organization company, and you know they're now heavily into the government sector. Companies like tech companies like Dell and HP and others. You know, those are companies you wouldn't necessarily think of right off the bat, but those are companies that have actually spent a lot of time and effort trying to work with the government, and they do require cleared people for a number of projects. We talked about Amazon being another one. There are a lot of small companies that are forming around big data and the analysis of that data. A lot of intelligence agencies are looking towards these small startup businesses who have very specific subject matter expertise in how to take a lot of unstructured data and make it into something that can give someone some actionable intelligence. So, you know, there's a fair number of companies that have started up around those efforts. So, you know, general strategies for someone in the job market, you know, number one is just to branch out from the traditional defense giants and start to take a look at some of these other companies that are really ramping up their businesses.
Is this a market for someone, Evan, who is, you know, who may have a clearance or may have the technical skills? Is this a market for somebody new who wants to get in here? I mean, who maybe wants to start their business and come in as a small a business, maybe veteran-owned business or, you know, 8A type business or things like that. Is this the market right now?
It surely is, yeah. There have been just a huge number of new companies being formed over the past year, really people who have left government or military service and have some expertise with some subject, and they've decided, you know what, I think I can get a few more folks like me and start up a small company and subcontract to others. And some of them have been very successful. We've seen a range of new companies start up from companies that do specialize in big data and reporting. We've seen companies start up over the last year that deal with intelligence gathering and analysis. We've seen more than a few companies start up that deal with training foreign police forces and militaries. So there's really been a lot of opportunity. I think when you find the marketplace having so many new open contracts, it just tends to spur the type of activity that we're talking about, people creating businesses, people creating small corporations to subcontract, people leaving larger firms to start smaller firms. That's just the type of activity that we would expect, and I think you'll see a lot more of that in 2015.
When we look at the social media situation, Evan, I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, we've seen the increase of social media, whether it be LinkedIn, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Twitter, whether it be whatever the case is, social media is a big part of our society right now. But we've also seen a number of different agencies. And in France, they mentioned, you know, hey, all officers should come off of social media because they may become targets through social media. What are we starting to see in America in terms of the clear professional? What are we starting to hear?
Well, you know, the way that social media has trended over the past few years is that information is really coming in at lightning speed to people, not just cleared, but uncleared as well. And what that tends to do is it makes people not necessarily take a close look at what's coming in. And a good example would be getting connection requests on social media sites, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and others. So you may get in a week, you know, anywhere from 5 to, you know, to 50 connection requests, all sorts of people saying, hey, add me to your network, add me to your network. It's such a common thing these days that a lot of people are kind of, you know, bulk approving who comes into their network or not really researching exactly who is this person who's asking me for a connection and just clicking accept, accept, accept. And that is something that technology has fostered, being able to accept connection requests on your phone or from a pop-up message on your computer or while, you know, laying in bed with a tablet computer. Mm-hmm. It's just made it so easy for us to accept these connection requests. But I think as time moves on, people are going to have to be more and more wary of exactly who they are connecting with and what information they're sharing and making public. It definitely puts people with security clearance at a risk, and technology and the way that technology is moving so mobile and to make things so convenient is not necessarily helping out the cleared professional to be vigilant.
You know, at one time, recruiters were using LinkedIn and other places as a prime place. I mean, you know, you've got these two different dynamics where some agencies are starting to tell people, come, you know, pull your social media down, you know, and then, but you still have recruiters who were using LinkedIn. Is it going to swing more to, I know you got some tools in your site with clearancejobs.com where you do kind of have more of a close, you know, social media dynamic for the clear professional. Where are we headed with this in terms of recruiting and social media? You know, where does a clear professional kind of keep? Do they? Of course, they need to follow agency guidelines if they're told to pull off. But does that mean that they go to more your site? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, I think in the future you're going to start seeing more and more restrictions put on social networks by the social networks themselves in order to try to limit the flow of data that's gotten out there. For years, companies like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, you know, their kind of stated goal was to gather as much information on people as possible and then disseminate it across the web as much as possible, to be ubiquitous, to be all over. And for a lot of people, that may make sense, but as time moves on and more companies are having these data breaches, we're kind of finding that the idea of this openness is not really meshing, and certainly doesn't mesh with cleared professionals. So I think you're going to see more closed networks like the cleared network on the ClearanceJobs site. I think you're going to see more restrictions put in place on sites like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn in order to clamp down their networks and clamp down the flow of data. As far as recruiting goes, I think it's important for people to remember that the majority of users of Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn are not U.S. citizens. LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook are very much global companies. On LinkedIn, 67% of their user base are not U.S. citizens. On Twitter, it's 73%. And on Facebook, believe it or not, it's 83% of their audience are not U.S. citizens. The fastest growing audiences on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter come from Asia. So for the cleared world, not only cleared workers as well as companies, if you're a cleared company and you're putting out a lot of information on your projects and who your employees are and what technologies you're using at what clearance levels onto social media, definitely have to be more wary because so many of the eyes seeing those messages are not U.S. citizens. On the candidate front, as far as what I mentioned with regards to networking, you have to remember that most of the people on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter are not U.S. citizens, and that you really need to take a closer look at who these connection requests are coming from, who are the members of the groups that you're joining online, and really make sure that you're not putting yourself in a spot of vulnerability.
Talking to Evan Lesser. Evan, always, thank you for such valuable advice. We're going to be catching up with you as time grows and as 2015 goes on. As we see this ever-changing market, it almost seems like week to week there's going to be changes. So we're going to be checking within you within a couple months to get some updates on how things are going. Thank you for everything.
Derek, always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.